Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, time to take a look at what's on the big and small screen over the next few days and to recommend some of the best things to watch. I'm joined by producer and director Brian Redden and Fionnuala Jones, presenter and broadcaster who's in our Cork studio. Morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Brian, let's start with this.
Tell me tomorrow, I'll wait by the window for you.
Gavin and Stacey there, the finale. Really, Brian, is this the end, yeah?
This is the end. The end of a long journey. The end of a 17-year journey. It's amazing that Gavin and Stacey's been with us for 17 years. And like, it's quite interesting the way it started. Like, Gavin and Stacey started off as this kind of cult sitcom on BBC Three. And it took it a while to kind of build momentum. But eventually it moved over to BBC One. And once it moved over to BBC One, it became this absolute phenomenon. And just, ratings... The ratings this program gets are just unbelievable. Like, when people have never seen anything like it before. For example, give you some figures. Like the last Christmas special, so it ended and then there was a bit of a hiatus and they had a Christmas special 5 years ago. That Christmas special was watched by 18.5 million viewers in the UK. Now that's unbelievable. That was making it the most watched non-sporting television programme on BBC television in the last 17 years. So that's unbelievable. Like 18.5 million. It's a huge amount of people watch it. So there's a lot of love out there for Gavin and Stacey. And the last Christmas special was 5 years ago and that ended on a cliffhanger. So for people who don't know what Gavin is, so Gavin and Stacey are this couple. Gavin is from Essex. Stacey is from Barry in Wales. And they meet, they fall in love, they get married. And then they've got two best friends. Gavin's best friend is played by James Corden. He's Smithy. And then Stacey's best friend is played by Ruth Jones, Nessa. So, and this is a rare sitcom in that the secondary characters are much more interesting than the main characters. Right. Gavin and Stacey themselves are kind of boring, but it's all the people around them. Their uncle Bryn, played by Rob Brydon. And Gavin's parents are brilliant, brilliant, brilliant actors. And they're hilariously funny. Anyway, so basically it's about the trials and tribulations of them meeting up and getting married. And they're back and forth between Wales and Essex the whole time. So 5 years ago, the Christmas special ended with Nessa and Smithy have a child together. Nessa's getting married to somebody else. She doesn't get married to him. She gets down on bended knee and she proposes to Smithy, played by James Corden. And it ends there. So what happened after that? So this picks up 5 years later. What happened? Did he say yes? Did they get married? Where have their lives gone in those 5 years since? So it's a really highly anticipated finale. And it is the finale. James Corden and Ruth have both said that they're not doing any more. So this is the end of it. This will be the very, very... Now, they say that, you know yourself. When this gets 19 million views.
It's like the band's final farewell tour.
And they come with a big sack of money. Not that James Corden needs it, but I'd say the rest of the cast would be more than happy to reprise their roles. And they have done so occasionally on, you know, charity singles and comic relief and things like that. So there's been bits in between the specials and the actual series. So we wait to see what happens. But apparently, this is the end.
Okay. Fionnuala, will you be dying to find out what happened on that fishing trip between Uncle Bryn and Jason? Or are you glad to see the end of it?
Look, far be it for me to yuck anyone's yums 2 days before Christmas. I cannot get the hype around this. And I'm really, like, I like a sitcom. I thought I'd love this. I think it kind of missed me a little bit when it was on air, but I obviously tried to go back to it to binge it and whatever. Just could not get into it at all. I cannot get over the pandemonium of this every Christmas and the fact that, you know, they're saying this is going to be the last one. I doubt it. As Brian said, the money bags will come out. Nice. We'll get another one in 5 years' time. Maybe we'll get a prequel or another sequel with the kids. I don't know. Maybe I need to give it another go, but I cannot understand the hype around this at all.
Right. You doubt it. You sounds like you fear it, but you're going for a crowd pleaser on TV on Christmas Day and actually on Netflix in January as well. That's Wallace and Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit are back. I am so excited. We're getting a full-length sequel to the iconic Wrong Trousers. This is Vengeance Most Foul. It's actually currently still in cinemas today. I know the Lighthouse have a few showings if you want to go see it in cinemas. But as you mentioned, it's also going to be on BBC One on Christmas Day at 10 past 6 and then Netflix internationally January 3rd.
For anyone, right, and that's Foul with a W.
Foul with a W, yes. That's significant because if you remember the Wrong Trousers, it featured a penguin villain, an iconic villain, Feathers McGraw. I found him quite scary as a child, strong, silent type. So we're picking up where he left off. He's in prison. He wants revenge against Wallace and Gromit. Anyone not familiar with Wallace and Gromit? Wallace, this hapless inventor with his dog that doesn't say anything but seems to have like human-like qualities, can move around, whatever else. Feathers McGraw wants revenge because he's been put in prison since the last film. So he finds a way to hack one of Wallace's new inventions. Wallace has invented this gnome that can do things around the house called a smart gnome. See if you get that there. He's helping with everything around the house. Feathers McGraw is able to hack into the gnome and basically cause havoc in Wallace's life. Just so charming. Everyone loves Wallace and Gromit, I think.
Right. I'd love to know for anyone, if there's anyone out there who is not familiar for Wallace and Gromit, I'd love to know what they're thinking now, listening into that plot description. Brian, you've got another one for Christmas Day, 8 p.m. on TG Car, a huge Irish success international stage.
If you're not watching, so Gavin and Stacey's on Christmas Day on BBC at 9 o'clock, but before that, an hour before that on TG Car is Colleen Kuhn. So I'm assuming most people have seen Colleen Kuhn at this stage, but maybe not. But if you haven't seen it, this is a perfect opportunity to watch it. So this was just like a blockbuster hit for the Irish language. It was part of the Cine Cathair scheme from TG Cathair to make films Oscailge, and this is adapted obviously by from Claire Keegan's book Foster. Obviously, she's in the cinemas now at the moment with another adaptation of her book, Small Things Like These. So she's quite out there at the moment. But Colleen Kuhn was the first adaptation of one of her works. And it's basically the story of a young girl played by a newcomer called Catherine Clinch, who's only 9 years of age, who gives a phenomenal performance, who's fostered out to distant relatives away from a kind of a dysfunctional family home. The parents, played by Alan Bennett and formerly of this parish, Miss Crowley, who's brilliant in it, Kerry Crowley. At first, obviously, Kerry Crowley's character embraces a little girl. The father's a little bit distanced, or you don't know why, what's going on. They seem to have some kind of backstory and some kind of history, but slowly they start all to bond together with this little foster girl until there comes a point where they have to give her back. So it's kind of heartbreaking and it's beautiful, and the movie did really, really well. It's perfect for that Cine Cathair scheme because they haven't got huge budgets. So it's not a big blockbuster, obviously. It's a quiet, gentle drama, the kind of which we don't make enough of, and it's just a really beautiful film.
And it was a real labour of love for the writer-director Colm Bourhaidh and Cleonaní Crooley,
his wife and producer, and the two of them did a great job on it, you know. And they received every accolade in the book, including an Oscar nomination. We're waiting to see now in January if NECAP get it. They've been shortlisted for Best International Feature now, and hopefully they'll get an Oscar nod as well. But Colleen Kuhn did it before them, first Irish language film to get an Oscar nod. It didn't win, unfortunately, but to get up there with the shortlist of the greatest in the world is unbelievable, you know. So multi-award winning. If you haven't seen it, is it a nice Christmas watch? That's a good, now that I think about it. I mean, it's sad.
Yeah, it's an emotional Christmas
watch. It's a very emotional Christmas watch. So it'll be a nice, you know, to sit down after your dinner and relax and watch it. But I would highly recommend it. So it's on at 8 o'clock on Christmas Day on TG Cathair.
Okay, we'll just stick with you, Brian, because you've got one for the cinema. Let's go back to this.
Yeah.
I have a 5-year-old at home. If she's listening to that, she has now started to sing along. Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, that's The Lion King.
The Lion King. Mufasa, The Lion King, which is like... So basically in 2019, Disney remade The Lion King with this photorealistic animation. I don't know if you saw that one, but it was a huge hit where essentially all the animals are very, very lifelike, you know. So it's a mixture of photorealistic animation and CGI. And that was a big hit. And this is a sequel to that, but a prequel to The Lion King, if that makes any sense. So essentially this is the story of... It's in cinemas now, by the way. I don't have too many people go to the cinemas over Christmas, but it might be something nice to do after Stevens's Day. But essentially, so this is the story of how Mufasa became the Lion King. So Mufasa being voiced originally by James Earl Jones, who passed away this year. This movie is dedicated to him. So he's a young cub in this. So we're going right back to when he's a young cub. He's been orphaned. He meets up with another lion cub played... What's his name? His name is Taka, isn't it?
He's the Anakin Skywalker almost of the Lion King.
Exactly. Yeah. So they bond together. Now Taka ends up becoming Scar later on, right? So this is his backstory. So Taka is an you have Mufasa, who's an orphan. He hooks up with Taka. Taka brings him into his family. They raise Mufasa as one of their own. Mufasa then kind of leaps over Taka and becomes the Lion King. Much to his disgust, he then becomes Scar, and that leads to the. Do you know what it is? It's Shakespeare. That's what it is. I mean, it's Hamlet. It's basically the story of Hamlet. You know, and that's that. So this is basically the backstory and the origin story of that. So it's got a lot of
to
the cast.
Watch or not to watch, then, yeah. Brian.
Oh, I see what you did there with Shakespearean reference. Excellent. I love it. Who knows? But anyway, it's on the cinemas right now. It's doing pretty well. And what's interesting is it's directed by a guy called Barry Jenkins, and Barry Jenkins won the Oscar for Moonlight. Wouldn't be the kind of guy you'd imagine to be doing an animated film, but he directs it, and all the songs are by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and as we know, he can do no wrong.
Okay, prequels, Fionnuala, you're going to, I suppose it is a step back, it's another prequel, Prey.
Yes, this is on tonight at 9 on Film 4. It's actually a Predator prequel. This is my first introduction to the franchise. I saw it on streaming a couple of years ago and I'm obsessed with it. I will say, obviously, not Christmassy at all. I love a good stressful movie at Christmas for some reason. I don't know what that says about me. I love a thriller. But yeah, it's a Predator prequel set in the 1700s on the Northern Great Plains. You have Naru, who's part of the Comanche tribe. She's undertaking this rite of passage to slay a ferocious predator. So obviously she's trying to take on mountain lions and stuff like that. But as she's doing that, she sees strange lights in the tree line, and that's when she becomes exposed to this otherworldly creature that's able to camouflage itself and obviously has weapons the likes of which she has never seen before. Incredibly tense, very good performances from Amber Midthunder, just very like an inspired performance from her, I have to say. Very, very good. I feel like it kind of reinvigorated this franchise from what I've heard from kind of the hardcore Predator fan. So if you've been kind of left disillusioned by some of the newer films, I would 100% recommend this. I feel like it passed people by because it was on streaming, I think, towards the tail end of the pandemic. So this is a good chance to actually sit down and and watch it. It's very, very good. Really right, recommend.
Watch a Native American woman take on Predator without the aid of a rocket launcher like Arnold Schwarzenegger had in the first one. Brian, here's something you baked earlier yourself.
Yes, indeed.
Lord Henry Mountcharles, you're the producer of a documentary
about
the man behind the castle, the venue, the story. Tell us about it.
So we have a
documentary. When's it on first and then tell us about it?
So it's on Friday, the 27th of December on RT1 at 6:30. RT1 are running a series of really good music documentaries at 6:30 throughout the Christmas. This is obviously the best of them. Probably one of the best documentaries you'll ever see. Yeah. I would say that because I produce and directed it. So I do have a bit of skin in the game. So this is called Henry Mountcharles, A Lord in Slain. And Henry is the kind of guy that, you know, a lot of people think they know who he is and what he's about, because he's this flamboyant character who wears odd socks and he's always hanging out with rock stars up at the castle, and he's a legend, really. He's been ever since 1981, when Thin Lizzy first took to the stage in Slain. Every year has been highly anticipated as to who's going to be playing there, and Henry's the front man. He gets out there and he's the face of Slain, he's the face of the concerts. But he's a really interesting character behind all that. And like, he inherited the estate when the estate was falling apart. It was tumbling down, nothing up there really. It was going to be closed down or knocked down, and he fought to try and keep it within the family. And throughout his life, he's had a lot of trials and tribulations. He had his own battles with alcohol. He's currently battling cancer. And you know, at one point the castle obviously burnt down famously back in the 90s. The castle burnt to the ground, and that was going to be the end of it. So Henry rallied and started bringing in more concerts and used the money of the concerts to rebuild the castle back up from scratch. There was a killing on the estate. One of the groundskeeper on the estate was shot dead at one point. He was a close friend of Henry's, which sent him into a very deep and dark place. So what happened was, at this point in his life, he's very reflective, looking back over his life, and he gave us the opportunity to come in. And it was no holds barred. Henry said, ask me anything. I'm happy to talk about any aspect of my life, and you can get it all on camera and use whatever you want. I showed him the documentary. When he sat and watched the documentary, he did not change one single thing. He was happy for everything to go out. So it's a real warts and all look at Henry's life from the time that he inherited, well, even before that, when he was a Harvard student, right through from really from the day he was born up until today as he's battling cancer. And it's a really honest and searing and interesting and entertaining portrait.
Right.
All of his family and friends are in it. A lot of them haven't appeared on camera before, including his best mate, Adam Clayton, who was really instrumental in Henry's battle with alcohol, in overcoming his battle with alcohol. Brian May's in there talking about the Queen concert in Slane. So it's a really interesting watch, and that's going to be on Friday the 27th of December, right after the 9 o'clock news at half 6.
Okay, sounds like you're even looking forward to watching it again.
I can't wait to stand and watch it. Yeah.
Fionnuala, one that I'm sure loads of people are looking forward to on New Year's Day, BBC One. Let's get a sense of what this is all about.
Yeah, I knew she was a faithful the whole lot.
But is that because you're a traitor?
I'm not a traitor, I swear on everything.
Will you let me speak?
You're a liar and you're a liar.
Oh my God!
We are never going to find them if we keep arguing.
It's exhausting.
This is the ultimate game of deception, skill and trust. This is The Traitors.
Now, if the dramatic music doesn't get you, the concept certainly will. Fionnuala, you say this is the best reality TV show going on at the moment.
Oh, I have goosebumps even just listening to that. Yeah, no, 100%. I think this will even make the most agnostic reality TV viewer, it'll convert them, I think. So this is hosted by Claudia Winkleman. It's a game of cat and mouse, essentially. You've contestants chosen to be faithful or traitors. The faithfuls are tasked with sleuthing out the traitors. The traitors have to kill off the faithfuls. And basically, if there's a traitor that gets to the end, they end up winning all the money. So they're all trying to like deceive each other. It's deception, it's a bit murder in the dark. It's so good. I cannot recommend enough. It's really campy. Claudia is the perfect host for this. I mean, last year's season was just, without giving away too much, it was just phenomenal. So I have very, very high hopes for this. And of course, we have the Irish series coming as well in the new year, hosted by Siobhan McSweeney. So if you want to get to grips with what the show is about before you watch the Irish one, watch this one, because it's just phenomenal. So good.
All right, Fionnuala, thanks very much. And to Brian, thanks very much to you as well.